Blog Talk Radio.
One time, yeah. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl, and one crib, one God to show me how to do things his son did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, who I'm gon' body. This hood politics is knowledging. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages. Seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us. Police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck, I got up, the cops shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops a Heineken. Ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, not shooting back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rep to the death of it. So everybody come on, little niggas is grown. Look rest, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon. Sit from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers. Sick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you're ready to die, when nine's out, this is what nine's about. Nigga, the time is now.
All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic. All I need is one blunt, one page, and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. Fuck all of them. Jesus died at age 33. That's 33 shots from twin Glocks and 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my guns was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 went into you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral never get shot up. Bullets tear through the innocent. Nothing is fair. Niggas roll up, shooting from wheelchairs. My heart is racing, tasting revenge in the air. I let this shit slide for too many years, too many times. Now I'm strapped with a couple of Macs, too many nines. If y'all niggas really with me, get busy, load up the semis. Do more than just hold it, explode the clip until you empty. There's nothing in our way. They bust, we bust, they rush, we rush. Let's fly and feel it, I feel it in my gut. That we take these bitches to war, lie them down, cause we stronger now, my nigga. This time is now.
All I need is one mic. That's all I need, that's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. That's all a nigga need to do his thing, you know. All I need is one mic.
All I need is one life, one try, one breath, I'm one man. What I stand for, speak for itself. They don't understand, they wanna see me on top. Too egotistical, talking all that slick shit the same way these bitches do. Wonder what my secret is, niggas.
What's going on, everybody? This is another night here with Speak On It on Thursday night, here with the Lotta Hill legend, Cornell, and Celebration. Here again to celebrate another Thursday night, here to talk about sports and entertainment in the great country of the United States of America. Tonight we're going to talk about, I know, I don't want to push your buttons just yet. I said that just to mess with you. Just to start off tonight, we're going to start off with the NFL. We're going to talk about the contracts that's going on in the NFL. We're going to talk about the state of the University of Miami with head coach Bart Rick, and the expectation is none other than a national championship. And lastly, the biggest thing we're going to talk about is the drama that is centering around Kyrie Irving and LeBron James again. And we might get off subject tonight. We might talk about a few other things, you know. And also, we want to put in a plug also. For those of you that enjoy to go camp, like to go camping, we surely got a story about that tonight, I'm sure. So everybody, please sit back, enjoy yourselves. Make sure you call in and check us out tonight, because we truly got a great show for you tonight. We finally got everybody here on. I know last week I need to apologize for coming on the show so late last week. We had some technical difficulties and some issues going on with my phone last week, but I want to thank my co-host for holding it down for me. So please, everyone, give us a call at 929-477-3686. Again, that's 929-477-3686. Call in to speak on it again. This is a Lotta Hill legend with Celebration and my main man, Cornell. We'll be right back.
Yo.
Let the
in my age status. Old school. Uh-huh. Okay. Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up? Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up? Okay. Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay.
They
what's up? Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up?
Right around in my brand new 99 Fogo and Volvo. I got a pocket full of beans. Smoke some weed and ain't got no place to go, though. But all my bogan boys, they know, though. That's for sure, though.
Are those blue white jeans you're wearing?
Hell nah, ho. You know they polos. I've been used again. Accused again. This time been rolling top of something done by one of my using friends. Soon as they seen the bands, hit the season was in. Hell, cause they feeling me, but I understand and they reason being. See, but I'm the man for this. While y'all was doing fine, I was doing time just praying for this. Locked up, making plans for this. Without all that fancy shit. Way too advanced for this. Got polo socks, tank tops, and drawers up under my pants. Shit. Shut up,
uh-huh. Okay, what's up? Shut up, uh-huh. Okay, what's up?
Right, and thank you, Trick Daddy. Trick Daddy was in the news also this week. Please Google that. We're not going over that
wasn't
on this family show.
Wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Come here.
What's up?
Yeah, he was in the news. I'm gonna send you the link because I know you don't pay attention
yeah.
to that. Now.
No,
that's being that's being celebration. Love that kind of foolishness. I'm gonna send you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I see it. Yeah, I saw it too. We're gonna talk about the NFL though, and these contracts, and we got you got professional sports. In my opinion, and this is just my humble opinion, you got the big three. You got baseball, basketball, you got football. We look at the number of games in football. They play 16 games. Basketball, they play 82 games, and baseball, they play 162 games. That's excluding exhibition games for all three of those. So. I mean, you can tag on probably an extra 5% on each, the equivalent of that anyway. But looking at the NFL contracts versus, like, basketball and baseball, to me it's atrocious, even though the football guys are getting more money than they have in past years. Am I saying it right, Cornell?
No, I don't know about that, Tim.
But that's the way
I go ahead,
I'm listening.
You say that again.
What I'm saying is football compared to basketball and baseball is no comparison as far as contracts, money-wise,
right.
and being guaranteed. But the football guys now are getting more money than football guys have gotten in the past. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They now they get more money. I mean, I'm looking at Jimmy Graham, a guy that his college career, if you pulled up his stats, in college, it's probably going to look just like my stats in college, non-existent. But
no, he played 1 year now.
Yeah, but he didn't do much, though. He didn't do much. He was a project now. When he came in the NFL, he was a project, and he just flourished, you know.
Right.
He flourished, you know, he flourished. So you just look at these contracts and look at the money these guys are getting, which is not compared to the other two. And what I don't understand is why football players are the ones that end up broke. Can anybody answer this?
Well,
why do they end up?
My opinion is they first off, them big contracts. You see somebody getting $20 million, probably 10 to 15. Sometimes if you get a $20 million contract, you probably get $10 million guaranteed. And then you still got to account for the taxes you pay.
True.
And then then they get taxed for every state they play in that has a state tax.
Away game.
I got a little inside intel with that, because when they first sign with the NFL, regardless of however big their contract is or however small their contract is, when they sign with their team, they're appointed a life coach pretty much. And they counsel those young men and let them know that they need a financial advisor, they need to make smart investments, and they have to learn how to tell their families no. And it's like a whole process they have to go through to understand that if you get a $300,000 contract, you're not going to be able to buy your whole family a house. It's just not going to happen. So they're giving instruction is what they do with it, though.
Right. I mean, all of them get instruction for each major league sport. The thing is, they make the least amount of money, and their career is only an average of 3 years in the NFL. You might look at the guys who've been around for forever, or Tom Brady and stuff. That's not the norm. You got to see the guy who just bouncing around the league. They average three years in the NFL.
I saw the news about the brain scans and what's happening to these players as a result of playing for so many years, and the brain density and the brain injuries they sustain. They put their whole body, mind, and spirit on the line to play ball.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and just to piggyback off that, you know, Jim McMahon, quarterback for the Chicago Bears for years, was on the 85 Super Bowl championship team. They asked him, he's been diagnosed with CTE, and they asked him, would you do it all over again for the sake of football? And he said, in a heartbeat. So,
yeah,
you know,
so
is that the
thing? Sorry for them guys.
Is that the CTE talking in him, or is it really him saying that? I don't
I
really
think
know.
It might be the CTE, perhaps.
No, you asked him and them guys, and they say the same thing. I was listening to Shannon Sharp the other day. He said if it happened to him, don't feel sorry for him, because he don't feel sorry for himself, because without football, he wouldn't have been able to experience some of the life he's living now and help his family out the way he did. So,
you know, these guys start playing football when they're five. You know, they started playing when they're 5 years old, a lot of them.
Yeah. We got a caller we just put in from Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia, are you on the line?
Yeah, it's Coach Hood.
Okay, how you doing, Coach? Tell me, what's your thoughts on this with the NFL CTE contract? You know, the guys blowing their money. What's your thought? Anywhere. I know we kind of all over the place, but what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, y'all all over the place, definitely from 50 different states. But, everybody grows up. You know, it's your responsibility to do the best of your ability to manage money. You know, we probably have never, you know, in our arenas, in our work, in our careers, we probably have never seen the kind of money that they see, obviously. But at the same token, you know, it's your job as an adult to manage what you have to the best of your ability. I mean, we've all screwed up money. We've all gotten a paycheck from our job, went out, had a good time, and looked back at the bank account and said, man, what happened? You know, where did it go? You know, but at the same time, you know, like she was saying earlier, you know, when you have a responsibility, you know, to your family, whether that's a wife or girlfriend, mother, auntie, or whatever, to take care of what you got to take care of. And you're right, some of it's going to go to taxes, some of it's going to go, you know, to whoever, agent. You've got to, you know, agents got to get a cut, too. If you have an agent, they might get 5-7%, you know, or 10% or whatever they can get. Exactly, 5-7%, 10%, whatever that is. So if you're getting $10 million, 10% of $10 million is doggone $1 million anyway. So, it's just a matter of trying your best to manage and living it within your means. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like this. Just like basic talk we learned a long time ago. You can be a person to make $30,000 a year. If you live a $19,000 lifestyle, then you got a little bit of money. But if you make $30,000 a year and you live in a $42,000 lifestyle, you're in the hole.
Exactly. Exactly. Good point. I was watching a segment on YouTube with Roland Martin. He had Philip Buchanan on the show. No, y'all not familiar. That's Philip Buchanan from the great Myers, Florida, and the mighty University of Miami Hurricane.
Yeah, played at the U.
That's right.
Played for the Raiders.
He has a book. He has a book that's out now that he's promoting, and one thing I remember him saying was that before he even got drafted, they even called his name, he was $1 million in debt from taking things from agents. And he was already $1 million in debt. And then one of the other things he said that was pretty riveting was that the fact that his mom asked him for $1 billion straight up, said, "I need $1 million from you right now."
Wow.
So, you know, those are one of those, I understand that because I won cash free the other day and my mama wanted $50 out of my $250. So I can understand that. I can totally get that. I know it's a joke and all that, but seriously, I mean, you got some of these guys that go through that, you know, and really, really have to deal with that sort of thing. But I just remember when I was at FAMU and I would watch the guys from Florida State and how they would always have these brand new cars before they were even drafted. And I always wondered how the agent got their cut on that. I wasn't wondering about how nice he was. I was wondering how they beat them out of the money. So it's just one thing to think about it. I was going to say this right quick.
I even start you out with a joke since you threw a joke in. Guy wins the lottery, and he asked his wife, he said, "What I got to do to get you up out of here?" She said, "Well, you need to win the lottery and give me half."
Oh.
He said, "Well, look, here go your $24. He said, "Here go your $24. Get the heck up out of here." he didn't really hit the big lottery. He just hit a scratch off. You know what I'm saying? And he won $48, gave her $24, said, "Get up out my house." But, you know, get back on a serious note, it's even the same thing with entertainers. Like, let's say a rapper, a lot of people don't know. They say, "Well, dang, when I was sitting in the car, he had a McLaren or he had a Bugatti or he had this." Guess what? If you bought that for your rap video, you got to pay for those royalties. So it's the same thing with an athlete. You know, even though you say, "Well, look, it looked good. I had this, I had that. I was at the PCU Class Hotel or I was in the Waldorf Astoria and it looked good on my video. I had these women." All that stuff has to be paid for. People have to get paid. So the best thing to do is to go below your means and make a video on your mama street and have a couple of friends and shoot the video and start off on the ground running, because most of the stuff you're going to get from your money is you're going to be able to keep. Once you make the video look glamorous and that's what everybody wants to do, that stuff has to be paid for. Same thing with athlete. Okay, it looks good that you ride down the street in this brand new Corvette when you just came out of college, whether it's at FAMU, whether it's where I went, Clark Atlanta University, doesn't matter. But the bottom line is you were struggling when you was in school. Now that you got this vehicle and you ain't had a contract yet and your agent got it for you, that still got to get paid back. See what I'm saying? A lot of people don't consider that. You know, you got a condo in the hills, you got a new Corvette, but your agent helped you get, but that's got to be paid for. And that's going to come out of that first check you get in the first place. So, you know, it's just something to consider.
Yeah, that's good. Those are good points, Coach. Those are real, real good points. Understood, you know. Everybody, we're going to go to a quick break. It's about that time for us to pay some bills. So we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back in a few minutes. We're going to talk about these NFL contracts and these young men and all this money they wasting. We'll be right back.
Blood's in the bitty. Guns up in truck, tinted up, rimmed up, they had cops trimmed up, y'all niggas get trimmed up, me and KT and Adderville, milled up, polo boots, I let the fuck on shoot, tell like the fuck on do, dunk on you and your hoe, switch it over to the left side, cross over, give me some more, and some more, spraying bones, I'ma keep dumping the clips, pop to my man, call him, land bones, land mines, Mac 10, Tech 9, y'all niggas gon' respect mine, I'ma have a whole set crying, had to pull it like man down, man round, talk of the town, AK clip walking around, busting the Glock, busting the case, niggas trying to get busted in the face, niggas catch one in the mouth, one in the chest, one in the face, pain is great, platinum shit, killing this rapper shit, and I'm on activist, excellent, I'm harder than all y'all push that niggas, they're going to action, bitch, you don't smoke, hey, car ain't got no roof.
All right, we live and we back on the line, everybody. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Again, this is a Lot of Hill Legend with Celebration and Cornell here on Speak On It, on Blog Talk Radio. Again, if you need to call in, please call in to 929-477-3686. Again, that's 929-477-3686. We were just talking about the NFL contracts, young men spending habits that are in the NFL and the stereotype that most football players end up broke after a few years after playing just a few minimal seasons in the NFL. While we were on the break, I took the liberty to look up some things, and please chime in on this. In order to get a pension from Major League Baseball, you got any idea? I think we talked about this last year, but you got any idea how long you get a pension in Major League Baseball? Anybody?
It might be about, I don't know. I know football. I think I'm probably about 4 or 5 years. I'm just taking it.
What you say, Sally? How long you think before in baseball you get a pension like for the rest of your life?
In baseball?
Yeah.
I'm tempted to Google it, but I would say maybe it's like 5 years. Between five and ten years.
Nah, yeah. Listen, both of y'all way off. Listen to this. You're not gonna believe this. Most people don't believe this when I tell them that. No.
What is it?
You have to be on a Major League Baseball roster for 43 days. Okay?
Yes.
43 days.
Oh,
if you on the roster for 43 days, you will earn a minimum for the rest of your life after you retire, you'll earn a minimum $34,000. Minimum. If you play one day in Major League Baseball, you get lifetime health care coverage. So take my granddaddy for example. He couldn't play in the Major League. He couldn't play in the Major League because he had to play in the Negro League. Just imagine had he played one day in the Major League. He would have had lifetime health care coverage. After 10 years in the big leagues, your benefits grow to $100,000 annually. In comparison, very quickly, NBA players are vested after 3 years of service. And once they turn 62, they get $57,000 a year. Twan Russell told me about this now, because I asked him about this part about the NFL. The NFL is vested after 3 seasons. I remember asking him about that. And then
and
they
he played about five, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he played 7 or 8. I think he got 8 years.
8 years, okay.
I think he has 8 years on there. Daryl Porter got at least 6 years too. So they'll get a pension, but they don't get it. And Daryl told me this: they don't get it until they're 55.
Oh well, they'll be there in a minute.
Yeah,
they'll be there in a few minutes.
Yeah, they don't get it until they're 55. I remember they both told me that. You know, we had to discuss
with that baseball time. The baseball got the strongest union.
they play the most games too, though. You got to take that into consideration.
Their union, so strong. Football union. They got the weakest union out of the three of them.
Every time they go on strike.
Those guys really living check to check, most of them. And they can't afford to hold out. And you get that after that 16, if you don't make the playoffs after them 16 weeks, you don't get no check no more.
Yeah, true. That's right.
So you got to make, you got all that money you made in them 16 weeks, you got to make that last for a year.
Okay.
You know, so.
For football to be the sport that is getting all the attention from the media and everyone that about CTE and injuries and all of that, and then for it to still be behind, you know, the proverbial eight ball with all the other sports regarding pension plans and compensation, to me it's crazy. I heard a guy say the other day on the radio show that all NFL football players should just get up and just walk out right now and go on strike. I think it was Charlamagne that said that. Said they all out of
Charlamagne
the cut. You just quit playing, and then until you get what you want, say everybody stop playing.
Well, hey, you can quit playing, but how you manage your money?
Well, that would be your first issue. And, you know, two, you know they're going to put some replacement players out there. You know that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, I can't remember the year. I want to say 1982, but I can't remember the year with the strike show.
Somewhere around that. Remember they had the scab players and all that?
The scab player. That's when Suge Knight got out on the football field. So that's how I can remember. Yeah, you know, you see how I mix in the entertainment.
Sugar Bear was out there on the field.
He played for the Rams. That was what happened with that. So you got a whole bunch of sorry football players out there that think they good. You got to get out there and just to say they played.
No, Tommy, don't do it.
I ain't sure, please. You'll see me out there. But that's foolishness. To me, is it really worth it to even play football? I love football.
Well, it depends, man. Hey, man, that changed a lot of guys' life and changed a lot of people's families around. So,
yeah,
the risk outweighs the reward. That depends on the individual.
Yeah.
So you got a dude come out of the projects and been his whole family for generations and been poor, dirt poor. He might be the one to change that generational curse on his family through football.
Shannon Sharp is a perfect example of that. You know?
His brother made it before him.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean,
his
he was
attitude,
able to change
his attitude.
Ball,
yeah.
He was able to, I mean, his brother money ain't his money, though. You know?
Right, but you know his brother took care of.
They're not that far apart, though. Aren't they?
Savannah State. My bad. My fault. The human almanac just had a glitch in the system.
Hey, we got Coach Hood. We got Coach Hood from Atlanta, Georgia, coming back. Coach Hood, if you can hear me now, come on with your comment.
Yeah, I was listening. I was talking to Coach Tab a second ago. First of all, I'm gonna go back to the baseball. You know, I know you all got a little bit far away from that, but to come in on what you just said, you know, football players sometimes are narcissistic. You know, they do think that they better than what they are, but we in the regular world think that we're better than what we are too. Sometimes we have to be brought back down to earth, you know. And in sports, we'll do that for you, just like life will do that for you. You know, it'll chew you up and spit you out, you know. But back to the baseball comment about the you were saying about the pension, and I know you like you said football, I think it's five. You said what somebody said basketball was maybe three. Now in light of that. Is it ridiculous that baseball is 43 days? It is. You said 43 days on an active Major League Baseball roster, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Right.
Okay, now think about this. NBA only has one minor league, which is the NBDL, right? Everybody else got to go overseas to play. Football only has Canadian League, Arena League, which is not, those entities are not subsidiaries of the NFL. Baseball, on the other hand, has what? Rookie ball, single A, double A, triple A before you can get to the major leagues. So a lot of time, those guys might spend 10, 15 years in the minor leagues, and they might get signed to a 2-, 3-, 4-day, 5-day contract or a week contract, and then you write back down to triple A. So some of them guys never see 43 days. So what I'm saying is that's why they always say baseball is the hardest sport to get to the major leagues or the professional, the 100% professional ranks in. See what I'm saying? All of it's hard, of course, because they're the best athletes in the world. But in football, there's no minor league for that. Basketball only has the NBA. Everything is overseas. So that's why they're saying they probably had the shortest amount of pension time, because it's the harder for somebody to get to that level and stay at that level.
It took a long time to even get to.
Exactly. And again, if you get there for a week, that's 7 days, and then you go back down to double A and you spend the next 10 years at double A, you didn't make that 43 days, so you ain't getting that pension. Now we look at it like, that's ridiculous. Baseball also, plays the most amount of games in a year. They play 162 games in a year because it's not as most taxing and it's toiling on your body as the other sports are, right? So you may play 20 games, get called back down to your single A, rookie ball, double A, triple A, and never make that 43 days. Now, a lot of guys will, but also baseball has a shorter roster. Like basketball, what is it, 15 on the roster, NFL 53 plus 8 makes 61, and in baseball, you're looking at 25 players.
25, that's correct. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is it's a lot harder with all them teams and all those single A. Every team in the majors has a rookie league, a single A team, a double A team, and a triple A team. So them 43 days, it looks to us like, oh, man, that's ridiculous. Is it ridiculous? Yeah, it's ridiculous. The new NBA contracts are ridiculous. But the fact is, it's a lot harder for those guys to get to them 43 days. We're not talking about the greats, the Barry Bonds and the Peñas and all these guys doing us, Mark McGuire. We're talking about the regular average guy who might make, in double A ball, $30,000 to $40,000 a year, never get to the majors, never see that 42 days. He ain't getting no pension. That's it.
True. You talking about your Claude Loves? Remember Claude Loves? Those of y'all out there listening, he was a hell of a baseball player in Brown County, and he could never crack it. And even my one of my main men, Billy Brown. Billy actually made it a couple of days, so he'll get that. Billy would get that
he'll get the pension
for the rest. He'll get the health care for the rest. He might get the pension. Mm-hmm. Billy was on the Yankees roster and Montreal.
Yeah.
He might have his 43 days. I don't know. But he bounced around a lot. So, yeah, those are some good points, Coach, man. That's why we like for people to call in. Very good points. We always like to get the other side of every argument. You know, 43 days is just that, 43 days. But, you know, making a 25-man roster with six teams
that's
under the belt, basically, like you said, is – it's no easy task at all, not at all. So very, very, very good points. We're gonna switch speeds for a second, and it's because I know we did spend a lot of time on that, but it's time to talk about the mighty University of Miami Hurricanes, the greatest college football program in the United States of America, with the greatest uniforms, with the greatest tradition, and the greatest players in the NFL. Again, the mighty, mighty University of Miami Hurricanes.
305.
That's right.
Dean County. Y'all already know what time it is. Throw them U's up. We're going to let the band deal with this.
We're not biased to any teams on this show, okay? We're not biased. Again, we treat everybody the same. But like I said, now it's time to talk about the mighty, mighty University of Miami Hurricanes and the head coach, Mark Richt. Cornell, Miami is the only school that can have Paradise Camp. Am I right or wrong? The only school that can
do it. I don't think they're the only school that can do it, but I think they're the only school that does it.
Oh.
Who got – no, because listen, you can't
that's why you got that on
me come to Notre Dame and do a camp. Mm-hmm. You got current players in the NFL at the camp.
I think if Ohio State or USC
– come on, man. How you going to miss
can do it, Michigan. But, hey, man, don't nobody do it like the U, man.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming back to Earth on that. Thank you. Again, we not biased on any schools or nothing on this show, but you know, we talking about the mighty University of Miami Hurricane. So the winner of six national championships. Yes, I said six because
they robbed us out of one.
That's right, they got robbed from one. But back to the Paradise Camp. As a recruiting tool, do you think they're going to do something and make a rule eventually the NCAA to stop this? I think they are, personally. Because if you know the University of Miami, you notice the five stars they're getting now. Have you seen this?
They're getting a lot of four stars.
Well, you know, but look what Mark Rick said. Rick said a four star in South Florida is a five star anywhere else in the country.
Oh my
and
God!
He said three stars, a four star anywhere else.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. So, you know, the mighty University of Miami Hurricanes, who will be in the BCS National Championship this season.
No, I ain't gonna say that, Tommy.
Why wouldn't?
Why not?
Why not? We got the best receiver.
We got to figure out who the quarterback is.
We got three of them. We okay. We fine. We just fine.
Well, if you got three, you ain't got none.
Well, they talking about going with the boy from Alabama, actually.
Uh-huh.
I hear that. I hear the freshman.
I like the freshman, personally.
I never seen him play. I've seen a couple of highlights, but. You know, everybody looks good
Perry.
In the highlight.
I like Perry. I'm going to tell you why I like Perry. You got the upside on Perry because, see, Perry don't have no fear. You know how you take a little kid, an infant, and you throw them in the swimming pool? What they do? What they do?
Sink or swim.
They swim right out
Sink
of
there. Sink or swim. Yeah.
They swim right out of there. But, see, you take a joke about 5 or 6 years old and they never been around no water. If you throw them in the water, you're going to have to jump in there after them to save them. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's what I like Perry. I do. No fear. No fear at all. But
well,
I think
if the competition close, you gotta go with the freshman. If it's close, you gotta go with the youngster.
Yeah, because you the one that taught me that in college basketball, if you still on the team and you a junior or a senior, you ain't no good. Isn't that what you say?
Well, that's college basketball. That ain't college football.
I think
I ain't expecting them to play for no national championship. Now, what I am expecting is to at least play for the ACC championship. I ain't even saying win it, but you need to at least be in the game.
Well, look at this. We got Mark Walton there running back, all right? That's all ACC running back. Amon Richards. Yeah, he tops in the country.
Yeah.
Okay? O-line is pretty solid. The D-line is stacked. You know, shout out to Anthony Moten. I hope you starting this year, boy. But shout out to Moten.
The O-line was the problem last year.
Yeah, it was a problem last year. And then our cornerbacks are looking pretty good from what I've been hearing. I haven't really seen them, but because I watch all that stuff, you know, I stay on Eye on the U and all of that. I stay on all that stuff, so we should be fine. I can say, as long as we beat Florida State, that's my whole thing, you know.
And I will be at that game.
Yeah, shout out to Bobby Hart too. Y'all, the Florida State, y'all going down this year. Yeah, Bobby is my boy, but y'all gonna lose to Miami this year. So, you know, that's all it is. That's it. So, University of Miami is back. We went through a coaching carousel. I mean, Lord knows I don't want to get into that conversation on this show because I've always been ridiculed about my certain dealings with a certain ex-coach for the University of Miami.
I never understood that. But, you know,
they actually
we always
blame
disagree
it on
that.
Me. And they always blame it on me for getting the man fired. I had nothing to do with any of this, but I just stated my opinion, you know.
We
so,
blame Tommy
hey.
Crew.
Hey,
well, I
you
predicted
know what,
the last one to get fired.
You know what, though? You know what? I actually met him. I shook his hand.
Really?
I shook his hand. And when I shook his hand, you know, I just looked at him, but I just shook my head.
You stood up there with your chest poked out for the worst coach in University of Miami history.
I looked at him. I shook your shoulders
back and your chest out, taking a picture with the worst football coach in the history of the University of Miami, Al Golden.
Oh. Ain't nothing. Golden wasn't that bad, man. Golden was all right. He was all right.
Give me a big game he won, Tommy.
He had a lot worse. The big game you forget he won. He won at Miami. He had a lot worse against it, man.
I don't want to hear that.
Listen, he could not attract the players, man. You got to have nine laterals to beat Duke.
But here's the thing, Tommy. It's one thing to get out, you know, somebody might have more talent than you. But when you're getting out coach, you're getting out scheme, man. It's people running wide open up and down the field. You taking dudes that used to play in a 4-3 bump and run man-to-man all their life in high school and then putting them in a 3-4 read and react. You took a 5-star corner. You took the best cornerback in the country, Tracy Howard, and turned him into a scrub. Not this man in the NFL started.
I'll give you that one. But I also make sure you highlight Sam Shields.
Randy Shannon turned him into a defensive back.
He recruited him as a receiver.
No, he didn't.
He will not get that man no respect.
Randy Shannon won the head coach when Sam Shields got there.
You sure about that?
Yeah, Larry Coker recruited Sam Shields.
I'm about to look that one up, but if you say so.
Yeah.
You say so.
Hey. Randy Shannon beat Oklahoma, and he was the last. The two people who you disrespect the most in University of Miami football history are the last. They were the last two to beat Florida State, Ja'Cory Harris and Randy Shannon.
And how many championships did they win?
Randy Shannon got what? How many Randy Shannon got as a coordinator?
No, that's not what I asked.
As a head coach.
But that's not saying nothing. Mark Richt don't have a national championship as a head coach. So what you saying?
Okay.
You're going to quit disrespecting Randy Shannon, man.
I never said it.
Sitting up there with your chest poked out, taking a picture with the worst coach ever, Al Golden. He had everybody.
Well, you know
he
what?
A snake oil salesman. He had everybody fooled. But I seen the second year. I said, hold on now. When you got less talent, dude's just faster. You missing tackles. You can't get a pass rush. Okay, people running wide open. You getting out schemed. You getting out coached, man. So I can see if you had the talent, at least they might be in the right position. They just can't make the play because they ain't got enough talent. But you ain't even in the right position. So give Randy Shannon his respect, man. And I'm embarrassed for you to be sitting up there on the picture, skinning and grinning with Al Gold.
You know what I'm
going to do for you? You know what I'm going to do for you? The next time I bump in the the next time I bump into that person that you're talking about, I don't even utter his name. I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to send it directly to you.
Yeah, you do that. And don't ever, if that, you know how you get the notification on Facebook where they say this happened a year ago or the 2 years ago. When that picture pops back up on your page, please delete it, man.
It's my screensaver. It's the greatest coach at the University of Miami. It's my screensaver. I might just text it out to y'all now.
couldn't have won the national championship with the 2001 team. He even lost 5 games with them.
Never
have it been so many players come out and criticize the coach like they did Al Golden. You had Phil Buchanan, Warren Sapp. They were calling him out, man.
You should have been criticizing Shannon.
Brandon Shannon, he was one quarterback away. Had he got Teddy Bridgewater, he'd have kept his job.
Well, you know what? He didn't get him, so guess who he had, though? Look who he had. Look who he had.
Ja'Cory Harris.
I'm waiting on you. Huh?
Yeah, Ja'Cory Harris.
And what happened with that, sir? What happened with that?
Bad coach.
My point exactly. Thank you. Cricket. Just what I thought. Nothing. I told y'all, man, listen. I told y'all years ago that Ja'Cory Harris and all them boys from Northwestern and Randy Shannon wasn't going to amount to nothing. That is not the way you ever built no University of Miami. You go, yeah, that's right. You go and get a quarterback from New Jersey or California somewhere and build your team around that and get some speedy receivers from Dade County, Broward County, or Palm Beach. You never built that like that. Never.
I hear you, Tommy. But that was the number one recruiting class.
Well, I mean,
that's old
news,
man. What you expect them to do this year?
Who, the University of Miami? ACC yeah. Championship and get in the BCS somehow. We're going to get in the BCS. We're going to be in the BCS bowl. There ain't a doubt in my mind.
You mean Final Four?
I don't know about the Final Four, in all honesty, but we will be in a BCS Sugar Bowl or something. I'm telling you. Look at them linebackers with Quarterman. Look at them linebackers we got.
Yeah, but, man, we still got to figure out who the quarterback is.
I ain't even worried about that because you got Mark Walton. Long as they can throw something. Listen, Amon Richards turns a 5-yard hitch into an 80-yard touchdown.
And I'm going to be honest. I started questioning Mark Rick last year.
Uh-huh.
The play call.
You question his play calling.
Last year, why are you running the spread option offense with a quarterback who's never going to run the ball?
Well, that was political. That was political because he had to play, what's his name? What's the boy's name? The mama was in Friday. You know, she deleted her on Facebook.
Brad Kite.
What's his name? She deleted her on
Facebook. Felicia. Felicia's son. Bye, Felicia's
son.
You got to remember, Tommy, them ain't professional athletes, man. No, somebody kids, man. And you just go hard on them.
All I said was they need to snatch that boy out because somebody done snatched the heart out of his chest or something. I said like that. And she was like, that's it for me and you. And she deleted us. We was friends on Facebook, man. I was friends with Felicia on Facebook. That's funny. No, actually, we knew some. We had a mutual friend, actually, the dude in Atlanta. Anyway, back to business. Like I was saying, that was political to play that boy last year, man. You knew that. That was all political playing. They should have been playing that boy from Miramar. That's what they should have played. But they didn't play him. What's the name? Ryan. What's God? I can't think of his name right now. I think it's Ryan Smith. He came from Miramar. They didn't play him last year. He ended up getting hurt anyway. But anyway, like I was saying, back to schedule. The University of Miami will be the number one team. I'm laughing at the text message I'm getting. The University of Miami, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at the message I'm getting. The University of Miami will be in a BCS bowl. I promise you that. They're going to beat Florida State. They're going to listen.
Hey, man, we've had Florida State down 3 years in a row, man.
You got to beat Clemson,
some kind of way, man. We don't play Clemson,
Clemson
unless We won't play them unless we beat them in the ACC championship.
They got
a real weak schedule. They play Bethune-Cookman. That's their sacrificial lamb.
The sacrificial lamb game.
and
it used to be FAMU.
Y'all go out there and get just straight demoralized for.
That's a fundraiser game.
Yeah, man.
That's a fundraiser game.
Hey, we got 9 minutes left, everybody. We got to go to a short break. We'll talk about this all night. Everybody, just give us a second. We'll be right back. We're gonna talk about Kyrie Irving and LeBron. I need my steak cut when it comes to my table, James. We'll be right back.
Steak cut.
We the best music.
Oh, this what we doing here?
Another one.
I might have to put on my jewelry for this one.
Rave talk. Oh, we talking that rave talk. Safe talk. Here we go, talking that safe talk.
Major key alert.
Oh, we good now.
Major bag alert.
DJ Khaled.
I got the keys. I know the judge, I'ma shoot him some chills. I got them keys.
Major.
I got them keys.
Niggas always asking me the key. Till you own your own, you can't be free. Till you own your own, you can't be me. How we still slaves in 2016. Key to life, keep it bad coming. Every night another bad coming. I ain't been asleep since 96. I ain't seen the back of my list. I've been speeding through life with no safety belt. One-on-one with the corner with no safety help. I put fun like Josh Norman. I ain't normal, nigga. Just a project, nigga. Out in Beverly Hills, California, nigga. That's rape talk. That's fun, nigga. Special golf talk here. All my niggas from the mud, damn near. All my niggas millionaires. We gon' take it there, I swear. You gon' think a nigga psychic. You ain't seen nothing like this. I should probably copyright this. I promise they ain't gon' like this.
I got them keys. I got them keys. I got them keys. I got them keys. We go to court, I'm pleading to sleep.
I like that music there. I don't know what they're saying, but I like it.
He got the keys. That's your boy Khaled. The keys right there.
All right now, y'all getting some serious music on him now. We
still okay. Don't know, that song's a couple of years old, man.
Man, that song from this year, Cornell.
I don't
that's
listen
major
to that, but stars don't never go out. So then you know. I listen to Nasir Jones, the greatest poet that ever touched a mic. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, the soap opera.
LeBron James.
Once again, LeBron James has crept his way onto our show, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're not biased about people on this show, but I'm a Michael Jordan fan, okay?
You
I'm
and
a
Gracie.
Jordan.
And I'm a LeBron fan.
LeBron James.
I don't want to start,
but let's go over.
But
I will say LeBron. LeBron.
In his feelings.
Yeah, come on, man.
All the time. Get out your feelings, LeBron.
But at the same time, if Kyrie Irving leaves, why are you leaving? Wherever you go, you can't leave no team.
What makes you think he can't lead the team, though? Why do you think he can't lead the team?
He ain't never done it.
Well, he's never had the chance. Remember, you got to put something, listen, you never know what anybody can do until they're put in the position to do it. You don't know.
How long Kyrie played in the league before LeBron got there?
What did he play? What, 2 years? Was it 2 or 3 years?
No, about three. I think 3 years.
Yeah, it was about
3 years. Hey, 2 out of them 3 years, they were in the lottery.
True, true.
Never made the playoffs. Got two number one draft picks and a number four draft pick, Deion Waiters.
Remember this, though. They were in the lottery to get him. He's a number one draft pick. So what does that tell you? That tells you that he had nothing on that team when he got there. Nothing at all. Okay? We all know that LeBron is world. All right? Ain't nobody's going to lead a team like LeBron. Okay? Nobody in the world. We know that. Let me tell you something, though. LeBron got all the respect in the world for me from a basketball point of view, from somebody that played basketball, from somebody that's watched basketball since he was a kid. He got all the respect in the world for me from a basketball point of view. But everybody don't go to Prime 112 and get their steak cut when it come to their plate, Cornell. Kyrie Irving wants to run his own team.
Oh my goodness!
To run his own team.
You can want to do that. You can want to do that.
There is nothing wrong with wanting to leave your own. And Kyrie Irving, let me tell you something. To me, Kyrie Irving should be the real hero in all this, more so than LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Kevin Durant, because he's wanting to go out. He want to go home to New York. He want to go to the Knicks, a sorry team. He want to go to his hometown team.
And see, that make me wonder. That make me question how important is winning to you. You know, if you stay in Cleveland, ain't nobody beating y'all. Even if he leaves, and go wherever, LeBron gonna make it back to the NBA Finals. With or without Kyrie Irving. Nah, he ain't gonna win the NBA Finals with or without Kyrie Irving. Golden State is the better team. But you guaranteed to go there. You won't win with or without him. So I'm wondering, why would Kyrie want to go to New York? To do what? To be like Russell Westbrook and get a triple-double and don't win? What's the point?
You know,
you average more points than you averaged after LeBron got there. You take more shots than LeBron. And I'm just trying to figure out what's the problem. You got a dude on your team, the best player in the league, and he's not a ball hog. Now, you want to go to New York so you can average, 30 points a game and not make the playoffs?
But look at the stats. They did an analysis of the stats. I don't know how they came up with the formula or whatever, but they looked at the stats when I'm looking at a text message I'm just getting. They looked at they did an analysis of where Kyrie was on the court and LeBron was off the court, what his average would be. And you know what it would, with some kind of formula they made, 36.8 points.
Okay.
He raised
they also,
his stats.
They also did a thing with when LeBron didn't play and it was just Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, they went like 4-13.
Okay.
And when LeBron does play, I forget the winning percentage, but it's way higher than that. So
all of that's true.
You can go average 30-some-odd points a game. You can get 30 points a game. But at the end of the day, are you playing to pad your stats or are you playing to win?
Well, time will tell on that. I mean, I think he's playing to win.
I don't think Kyrie Irving can lead a team. He makes nobody better.
Hello.
And if he on the team and he the go-to guy, he's going to be like a black hole. Get the ball, dribble, 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 bomb, bomb, bomb. Play isolation ball.
Can we agree on something? There's not a guard in the league colder than Kyrie Irving. Nobody.
No, you might have a point.
Nobody, man.
He can finish at the rim. He got the best handles in the league. And he's cold-blooded.
No doubt.
But if he's the best player on your team, you would never win nothing.
Well, you know, they said that about another man, you know, that played in the 90s.
Well, you don't put them two in the same conversation. They're not even in the same league.
That comparison with him and Jordan?
You can't even do that. That ain't even fair to Kyrie.
It's
not even fair.
Comparing the two of them is like comparing apples and peaches, okay? You can't compare that.
No, that's like. See, that's that. comparing them is like comparing apples to rocks. Them two ain't got no business in the same conversation.
Oh.
Well, I mean, again, it's a matter of opinion, but Allen Iverson is a Hall of Famer.
No doubt, he's
a Hall of Famer. So, you know, again, comparing them for the special request I'm getting is like comparing them to apples. You say, what do you usually say? You usually say apples and oranges, don't you? Well, I'm going to say apples and peaches.
Apples and peaches.
Because
both of them fruit. And Kyrie Irving ain't even a fruit if you call him Michael Jordan one. The apples and collard greens. Something like that.
Oh,
apples and carrots. And apples and carrots and something like that. But there ain't no apples and oranges, both of them fruit. No, they ain't even in the same category.
And I'm
telling you, Kyrie Irving will never lead a team to a championship. I don't think there's nobody.
He's not ready.
I don't think there's nobody that's
ready.
Under 6'9" gonna lead a team to a championship.
Allen Iverson's under
6'9".
What?
Well, he didn't win. No, he didn't win. Allen Iverson ain't never won nothing.
You can't lead them to the championship.
Well, win a championship.
Let me tell you something. I believe if Russell Westbrook gets somebody with some more heart, he'll do it.
No, he won't. He dominated the ball too much. Watch Golden State. And San Antonio play. You a man can't move faster than the ball. That's why you see them with open shots like that. You got one dude that's pounding the ball, and then 10 seconds left in the shot clock. Now he's ready to pass. Come on, man. You ain't gonna win like that. Now it looked good in the regular season, but when it comes to playoff basketball, and you come up against a team that got ball movement. You ain't gonna beat them.
You got a point, but I'm sorry. I think Kyrie Irving is a phenomenal player and an amazing athlete.
No doubt.
And
I think he's
a combo guard. So
listen, what I tell you, Kyrie Irving leaves from if he leaves Cleveland, because he still got 2 years left on his contract. He can want to get traded all he wants to. Now, if he go to New York, Miami, he'll go to the playoffs and get knocked out in the second round. You'll average 30-something points a game. But you ain't going nowhere, man. You ain't going nowhere as long as LeBron's still putting up 26 points, 7 assists, and 6 assists and 7 rebounds. Whatever he's doing, ain't nobody in the East doing nothing. You just got to wait till you get old. And leave.
Wait till they get old.
You know, that's a good point, though, you got, Courtney, because there's a lot of people ain't going to win in that league until LeBron get old. You're right about that. They can forget it in the East. Everybody in the East can forget it.
Wade got his back in 2006 before, you know, LeBron got into whatever.
LeBron didn't get him to those championships. Listen, they would have won 3 out of those 4 championships if LeBron shows up against Dallas. He had 8 points one game.
Exactly. And that's the only series I ever held against LeBron.
I believe that
last San Antonio series, after that series was over, I said he leaving. Wade didn't show
eight
up. Bosh didn't show
eight.
Up.
He had 8 points. Grant Gibson, listen to this. You put Grant Gibson at the age of 23, he going to get you 8 points in the NBA basketball game.
Listen here, though, Tommy. Why you don't? Why you exempt? But why you exempt Wade for not showing up against
San Antonio? He's older, and he was hurt. He was hurt. He's older, and he was not the focal point of the team.
Tommy.
He was not.
Wait, 2 years old. Hold on, man. All of us making the same money. You got to show up, man. I ain't saying lead us nowhere, but you got to. that's when I started. That's when I seen. I said, "Hey, LeBron, out of here after this year." Cause Wade, Kawhi Leonard had Wade looking like an old man out there. And how long ago was that? That was 2014.
Yeah, true.
So don't exempt Wade from and Bosh. I remember LeBron called both of them out against Indiana, saying, "Man, y'all leaving me hanging out here."
I can't go too much against LeBron because I got the utmost respect for him. But you can't be scoring just 8 points in no championship. You can't
exactly. I hold that against him. That one. The rest of them, that man showed up. You're the best player, but you ain't gonna beat the better team. Last year, I don't care. He averaged a triple double in the finals. He could have scored 50 points, 20 rebounds, and 30 assists. And they still wouldn't have beat Golden State.
Yeah, you right, man. I agree with you. He could have had 50 points. He could have. Well, moving on, we got to move on to the segment of the show that we know all you ladies been waiting for. I know my man Cornell, he got to sign off. He got another show he got to work on tonight. But,
yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, I know that's right. So we're going to move on to the entertainment section. I'm going to defer this thing to Celebration. Celebration, go on and give us your report on entertainment tonight, please.
Hey, y'all. They sound like they need a rest. They really got into that sports talk tonight. But it was very educational. I have you know I learned a lot of things about sports, guys. But anyways, on to entertainment. We didn't really get a chance to get into a conversation about what's going on with your boy Usher, and I don't want to go quite there yet. I do want to graze on a couple little light subjects before we really get into what's going on with your boy Usher Raymond. But we anticipated talking about T.I. and Tiny last week. T.I. and Tiny have been in the news because, of course, they had their big breakup on their TV show. Their show has been on VH1 for about 7 seasons, and they decided to try to call it quits on air for everybody to see. Well, since the show wrapped and they did the finale, they've been in the news quite a bit, and partially because Our favorite light-skinned rapper, T.I., was dating a video vixen, an Instagram model, Bernice Burgos. And it was rumored that in one of the scenes where Tiny came home and had their baby, their most recent baby with her, to drop her off with her dad for the day or the weekend, Bernice was there in the house, and there was a little bit of a altercation, a little scuff. But what's come out recently, and as I said last week, I don't get in these people's business. These people's business is all over the internet. I learned about it from reading it in the blog. I'm not in these people. I don't know these people. I am not a gossip, okay? I am not the girl that's, you know, peeking in your window, blah. No. I'm getting this off the line, all right, as my father says in his, you know, in his Cuban accent, off the line. I seen it on the line, okay? These folks have their business on display, so I'm just reporting, you know, what I read. So apparently Bernice Burgos went online and, you know, told the world that she's not a home wrecker. You remember Bernice Burgos. She's a really pretty Dominican girl, brown-skinned girl, curvy girl, really pretty girl. But, you know, she's getting a lot of notice now because of this seemingly home wrecker relationship that she has going on with T.I. At the end of the day, last week some information surfaced because our boy who was in his feelings 2 weeks ago, Rob Kardashian, outed them. Rob Kardashian outed them by saying T.I. and Tiny paid China to have relations with them. So then their sexual stuff going on started surfacing more and more. So this week, as I was browsing the internet, I found a video where T.I. and Tiny were in a room with several scribbles. Not, they weren't having a Girl Scout meeting. They were women of the night. Do you understand what I'm saying? They get that money on the pole. And it was several of them, and they were all lounging, scantily clad. So, boom, here it is. Everybody wants to know, T.I., what's your problem? It appears you have an open relationship. Bernice Burgos didn't wreck y'all home. Y'all invite friends, and y'all have, like, kumbaya circles together. So what's the problem?
Oh, wow.
What's really happening? Like, have you heard this? Did you see this?
No.
I don't know, guys. I think in the back of men's minds, they have this idea that it's cool to have, like, a group situation with wifey. I don't know. What says the men? Because I know how I feel. I don't even want to get y'all in trouble. But whomever's not married, do you think that's what men want? To, like, have snacks in the main course as well? I mean, I'm just asking. It sounds like
hey,
a round
man.
Of applause. I don't know.
Hey, that's my age.
Don't get in trouble.
I'm gonna talk to y'all later.
I gotta wake up tomorrow. All right, so let's change the subject. Let's talk about something a little lighter, a little less risque. Our favorite Puerto Rican, Jennifer Lopez, is back on the scene with a new boo, A-Rod, baseball player. Didn't y'all just say that baseball team was sorry? Oh, no, the basketball team. Which team out of New York y'all said was sorry? The football, basketball, baseball team? Because I know Alex Rodriguez is pretty dope on the baseball diamond. But at any rate, they are together. They've been together for quite a while. Both of them had a birthday this week, and they celebrated together, which was very, very cute. They've been getting lots of photo ops. People have been all in their business, so it's been plenty of information for me to scour. And I did come across this little gem. Apparently, Miss Jennifer Lopez don't trust A-Rod because she hired a private investigator to make sure her boo thing wasn't doing other things with other women. According to what I read, J-Lo's friends are concerned because they think that she moves too quickly. She falls in love too fast. Although Alex has been on every tabloid, every newspaper, every TV show saying how he's very smitten with her. In the promo junket, you see I posted a picture of Jennifer Lopez and her ex-husband. What's his name again? Like, we totally forgot about him. Oh, gosh, I can't really remember.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I forgot his name for real. I'm not even playing. But at any rate, he's in the picture with them. That was the first time she met Alex Rodriguez. She was with her husband when she met him. So that's kind of sketchy. But anyway, they're together now. Remember, she had a little hiccup of a relationship with Drake for about 5 minutes. I think Drake had his little childhood fantasy fulfilled, and, you know, he played around with J-Lo for about 5 minutes, and then she started dating Alex Rodriguez. They were both here recently in Miami last week for the Major League Baseball All-Star Week and weekend, and they celebrated here. They've been seen around town. They've been photographed. Jennifer has also, you know, been seen serenading Alex, and it appears that there is marriage on the horizon for them. He is not holding back any of that. He wants the world to know that J-Lo is his Puerto Rican mommy, and he's going to put a ring on it and all of that. Now, Jennifer Lopez just turned 48 at the top of the week, and Alex is 42, so she's older. She's a cougar. What you say? You like that? You think that's cool or not? You coughing? What you coughing up? What's going on? What happened?
I don't have no problem.
What's the problem? You know, Jennifer is, like, highly revered. Everybody loves J-Lo. Like, she's the first girl to have a big booty, right? Right?
No?
No
comment.
Everybody loves J-Lo's booty. Huh? What?
No comment.
excuse me.
Okay, well, I'm going to get off J-Lo's booty. I'm going to leave that alone. We love J-Lo. Hey, girl, hey, if you're listening, we like you for real, in real life. Anyways, they're supposed to be having a very great time together. And, you know, he's smitten, she's smitten. They're doing all types of photo ops. And everything is great. Now on to, we wanted to roll it out last week, but I really wanted to go in and talk about our friend Usher. Usher. I'm sure
Usher
you all
Raymond.
Saw Usher Raymond. Usher, you got it. You got it bad, and you giving it to all the girls that you're laying up with. Hey, Usher got that thing, y'all.
His career might be over. You know
that? Oh, poor baby. I'm bad for Usher. Well, damn. Ted, how you really feel? How you feel about that? Usher. Game over. Game over. Usher. Now we watched Usher grow up. Like, he literally grew up before our eyes on TV. He was the young protege of Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs. You know, Sean groomed him over at Uptown Records. You know, he came out, he was a smash hit. We all love Confessions. We were wondering what went on between him and Chili because they just looked like the perfect couple. But my investigative research lends me to believe that Chili got a whiff of what was cooking in them drawers, and she was not trying to continue that. And everybody's like, how come you two just don't get back together? You guys were so cute. I'm thinking it's because she got the damage. She got the damages. She heard the damage report. Now, in the photograph where he married his stylist, Tamika, I can't think of her name either. Oh, Mark Anthony is J-Lo's ex-husband's name, by the way. But anyway, the woman that he married, Tamika Foster, who was his stylist, and, you know, they were showing pictures this week of the wedding party. Apparently, Usher diddled with all of her girls. And all the girls who were in her wedding party all got a piece of the ush. And the first stone was thrown last week when the court documents were revealed, where he paid her in a settlement $1 million. And, of course, the details had to be disclosed in that settlement because it's public record. But he paid her $1 million to just go away. Well, since that time, more women have surfaced, more details have surfaced, and apparently last week, one of the ladies who started her lawsuit, who's also being represented by Black China's attorney, Ray Allred's daughter, yes, so she started by wanting to sue him for $10 million. Apparently this week, she's up the ante. She says that Usher infected her, and she wants $20 million now. And, she said that she has proof that she contracted it from Usher. $10 million wasn't enough. Now she wants $20. Usher Raymond is 38 years old. He has two sons. He has recently married another woman from his inner circle. Apparently, she's known him for a very long time as well. She's currently pregnant. I wonder if whether he infected his new wife. But I did want to put out a statistic, and boys and girls, if you're listening, this is an educational show. In the United States, one of every six people ages 14 to 49 years old have genital herpes, which is spread through vaginal, oral, or anal sex. It can be spread to sexual partners, even when people who have it show no symptoms. So just be aware of what you're doing, who you're doing it with. Balance your mind by being cautious. Err on the side of caution, because just because a person does not look like they are sick, it doesn't mean that they aren't. And I'd also like to segue a little bit and throw in a gratuitous plug this Saturday in Pompano. I will be with the Ada Nu members of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. I will be speaking.
That's my dad. That's my dad.
Mine too. Hey, we some Q's children over here. It's a Get Lit. Get Lit. Lit stands for Life, Information, and Technology. That is Saturday, July 29th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Pompano. You can check out my Instagram page at Celebration, CELLIBRATION, for details. I hope to see you come out, meet me in person. We could take a picture and I'll post it and all that other good stuff. You could also check out my blog at celebration.com, spelled the same way, CELLIBRATION.com. If you saw Girls Trip this week, check out the blog. I wrote a blog about it. If you want to talk to me about your impression of Girls Trip, I am ready to hear it. As a matter of fact, guys, can we talk about Girls Trip next week? I would really, really love to get some of our female listeners to express their sheer joy after watching Girls Trip. Shout out Will Packer, Florida A&M University alum, and our classmate Tommy. He was right there. We were in SGA together. He's doing big things. We're so proud of Will Packer. Girls Trip is awesome. What's the book that your boy Steve Harvey wrote? Think Like a Man.
Think like a woman.
Packer also produced that film. He's doing it big. That's what we do as Rattlers. See, Cornell hung up the phone, Tommy. He was trying to downplay us Rattler children. You don't know. We do big things coming out of Florida A&M, right? That's right. All right, guys. That's my little entertainment blurb for the day. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to talking with y'all next week. Thank you, host Tommy, for having me on.
Yep, we're going to sign off, everybody. Please join us next week on Thursday. We're going to go on at 8:30 next week. That's Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. You can catch us on the worldwide internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/speakonit11. All right?
Yeah, man.
Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/speakonit11. Signing off here,
yeah.
With Celebration and my main man Cornell. Signing off for tonight. We want to thank everybody for joining us tonight.
He was scared. He didn't want to get in that conversation.
Yeah. You know what's happening. All
right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
All right, y'all.
One time. Yeah. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things the sun did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, so I'm gon' body this hood, politics acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I ducked, could it be my time is up? With my luck, I got up, the cops shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops a Heineken. Ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rep to the death of it. So everybody come on, little niggas is grown, hood rats. Don't abortion your wound, we need more warriors soon. Sent from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, street sweepers and coppers. Stick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you're ready to die, but nine's out. This is what nine's about, nigga. The time is now. All I need is one mic. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic.
one blunt, one page, and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. Fuck all of them. Jesus died at age 33. That's 33 shots from twin Glocks and 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my guns was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 went into you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral never get shot up. Bullets tear through the innocent. Nothing is fair. Niggas roll up, shooting from wheelchairs. My heart is racing. Tasting revenge in the air. I let this shit slide for too many years. Too many times now I'm strapped with a couple of Macs. Too many nines. If y'all niggas really with me, get busy, load up the semis. Do more than just hold it, explode the clip until you empty. There's nothing in our way. They bust, we bust, they rush, we rush. Let's fly and feel it, I feel it in my gut. That we take these bitches to war, lie them down, cause we stronger now, my nigga. This time is now. All I need is one mic. That's all I need, nigga. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. That's all a nigga need to do his thing, you know. All I need is one mic. All I need is one life, one try, one breath on one man. What I stand for, speak for itself. They don't understand, they want to see me on top. Too egotistical, talking all that slick shit the same way these bitches do. Wonder what my secret is. Niggas will move on you only if they know what your weaknesses. I have none. Too late to grab guns, I'm blasting, cause I'm a fool, nigga. Thought I wouldn't have that ass done. Fool you, niggas, what you call an infinite brawl. Eternal souls,